Jake's stomach cramped with sudden excitement. He took a step back toward the old man, who at once raised his cane into a defensive position again. Jake stopped at once, leaving a 20-foot safety zone between them. "Where's Markey Avenue, sir? Can you tell me that?"
"Of course," the old man said. "Didn't I just say I'm leaving here 22 years? 2 blocks down, turn left at the Majestic Theater. But I'm telling you now, there is no Markey Academy."
"Thank you, sir. Thank you." Jake turned around and looked up Castle Avenue. Yes, he could see the unmistakable shape of a movie marquee jutting out over the sidewalk a couple of blocks up. He started to run toward it, then decided that might attract attention and slowed down to a fast walk. The old man watched him go.
"Sir," he said to himself in a tone of mild amazement, "sir yet."
He chuckled rustily and moved on. XVII. Roland's band stopped at dusk. The gunslinger dug a shallow pit and lit a fire. They didn't need it for cooking purposes, but they needed it nonetheless. Eddie needed it. If he was going to finish his carving, he would need light to work by. The gunslinger looked around and saw Susanna, a dark silhouette against the fading aquamarine sky, but he didn't see Eddie. "Where is he?" he asked.
"Down the road a piece. You leave him alone now, Roland. You've done enough."
Roland nodded, bent over the fire pit, and struck at a piece of flint with a worn steel bar. Soon the kindling he had gathered was blazing. He added small sticks, one by one, and waited for Eddie to return. 18. Half a mile back the way they had come, Eddie sat cross-legged in the middle of the great road with his unfinished key in one hand, watching the sky. He glanced down the road, saw the spark of the fire, and knew exactly what Roland was doing and why. Then he turned his gaze to the sky again. He had never felt so lonely or so afraid. The sky was huge. He could not remember ever seeing so much uninterrupted space, so much pure emptiness. It made him feel very small. And he supposed there was nothing at all wrong with that. In the scheme of things, he was very small. The boy was close now. He thought he knew where Jake was and what he was about to do. And it filled him with silent wonder. Susanna had come from 1963. Eddie had come from 1987. Between them, Jake, trying to come over, trying to be born. "I met him," Eddie thought. "I must have met him. And I think I remember. Sort of. It was just before Henry went into the army, right? He was taking courses at Brooklyn Vocational Institute, and he was heavily into black. Black jeans, black motorcycle boots with steel caps, black T-shirts with the sleeves rolled up. Henry's James Dean look. Smoking area chic. I used to think that, but I never said it out loud, because I didn't want him pissed at me." He realized that what he had been waiting for had happened while he was thinking. Old Star had come out. In 15 minutes, maybe less, it would be joined by a whole galaxy of alien jewelry. But for now it gleamed alone in the ungathered darkness. Eddie slowly held up the key until Old Star gleamed within its wide central notch. And then he recited the old formula of his world, the one his mother had taught him as she knelt beside him at the bedroom window, both of them looking out at the evening star which rode the oncoming darkness above the rooftops and fire escapes of Brooklyn. "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight, wish I may, wish I might, have the wish I wish tonight."